Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Claire Mutimer.
And I'm Susie Coulson.
Welcome to Backstory Mashups. Three shorter stories, some old, some new, but with a common theme running throughout.
Mashups.
Yes, it's a thing.
And we're going with that.
Yeah.
Welcome to the backstory. This week, our theme is a sudden change.
Yes, it's the second part of our backstory mashups, where we have found some strong links within some previous stories and literally mashed them up with some new recordings. Susie is slightly on edge about the mashup title, so I'm just saying as much as I can to wind her up.
Oh, thank you, Claire.
In this programme, we've teamed up with the Breakup Monologues, another podcast, to bring you a recording which they did and fits this episode's theme of a sudden change like a glove. Starring comedian Jane Postlethwaite, we hear her describe her big breakup, that really bad breakup where everything seems set for a future together and then literally carpet
whipped out from under feet.
Yeah, exactly. And there is the sudden change. And sudden change is really interesting because whilst knowledge of something hideous ahead is just that, completely hideous, sudden change means that whilst you might live off some adrenaline initially, more often than not, some serious readjustment needs to take effect. And that can often mean a period of mental turmoil, which people deal with in different ways.
So let's first go to the Breakup Monologues with Jane Postlethwaite, hosted by Rosie Wilby.
He was about 7 years older, so I was thinking, okay, I'm kind of set. You know, he wasn't really that attractive, as lots of people told me.
So you thought he's not going to go looking for anyone else?
No, of course not. You know, he's got himself a nice blonde, 6 foot, reasonably attractive girlfriend.
Who's funny.
Who's hilarious, Rosie.
Yes.
And so I was doing stand up. I was learning everything about it. I was doing a gig a week. And I was doing some plays as well in the Brighton Fringe. This is 2014. Mm-hmm. And he was in some of the plays as well. And I thought I'd struck gold because he owned a flat in Brighton.
Oh, that is good.
And we did it up and he was going to sell it. And his dad had a bit of money. His dad was going to give us some money for a deposit. And on my lunch breaks, I'd be going out looking at these flats. And we were deciding, do we go for a garden or do we go for that extra bedroom? For babies.
Oh, wow. This was your big relationship that was going to be there forever.
Forever. That's what I saw in my future. And I was very excited. And then after we'd done Brighton Fringe, we went to the beach and I said, oh, we've been so busy. We need to go on holiday together. And he said, no. And I said, oh, okay. Why? And he said, going on holiday with you, there's no joy in it.
Oh, that's horrible.
So I was like, oh, okay. I was like, what's going on? And he just said, oh, we're going through some stuff.
And you didn't know that you were going through some stuff.
I didn't know we were going through stuff. Really? I'd been looking on my lunch break, going around flats, which is quite stressful.
Well, and maybe you weren't going through stuff. Maybe it was just him, was it?
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Yes. And then his family was staying down for the Brighton Fringe, and I was, you know, his dad was quite elderly. He was kind of in his 80s, so I'd go and meet them because my ex would be late from work, saying he was in London with his improvisation group. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, he wasn't coming home. He was staying at his brother's house nearby. And I remember it very vividly because I'd got really anxious because I didn't know what was going on, but I knew something was going on.
Mm.
And I'd taken an old diazepam I'd found in the drawer.
Right, as you
I
do.
I watched an episode of Wallander.
Yeah. Oh, that would be super trippy on a little bit of diazepam.
It was lovely. The Swedish one as well with subtitles.
Yes,
I'm
that's
not
the
lazy.
Best one. Yeah, yeah.
And something told me to get up and walk to his laptop that was on the dining room table.
Oh,
something
really?
Pulled me from my tummy. I went and sat down, lifted up his laptop, and his emails were there.
No password then?
No, he left it all open.
Well, really?
Never
like
done
he wanted
that before.
To be discovered.
Yes.
Ah.
And I went to the scent folder. It was like something was guiding me. And I do
really?
Believe.
Gosh.
Yeah, I believe you get signs
your
and you get instincts.
Angel.
Your tingly sense.
Yes.
Ooh,
which
weird.
Then led to pounding heart.
Oh, yeah, I feel it. I'm
reading
with you.
The first line. I spend 5 minutes with Jane and all I can think about is you.
Oh.
So then I had her name and then I searched in his Gmail and he'd sent her a picture of his penis.
Oh.
He had wrote a long list of sexual things that he wanted to do with her. She wrote back whether she would do them or not.
Oh, no.
She was off to California for 6 months.
Right.
Living a nice life. And they'd been meeting up to discuss what their relationship was. And it turns out it was someone he'd known for 16 years.
Wow.
Never uttered her name to me ever.
Wow.
And suddenly decided that he wanted to go out with her. And then she went off to California for 6 months while I had a nervous breakdown for 6 months.
Jane.
A very messy 8 or so months ensued, but safe to say, Jane Postlethwaite wrote a great Brighton Fringe show and she is now much stronger.
I'm glad to hear that. So, Claire, have you ever been through a big breakup?
Yes, I did instigate the few breakups that I was part of. But that's not to say it made it any easier, really. Although I suppose I did see them coming. What about you, Susie?
Yeah, nothing dramatic. But looking back, I think there were a few where I kind of ghosted them and maybe a couple where I was ghosted. And back in those days, we didn't even really call it ghosting.
And what do you mean by ghosting?
Well, just that thing where you kind of disappear. You know, you're there and you're seeing each other and then one person just kind of drops off completely. And
oh, that's a bit...
Yeah.
That's not very nice.
So now it would be the equivalent nowadays would be... just not answering messages.
Yeah.
And you'd be able to see that that person had read your WhatsApp, but they just weren't responding.
Oh dear, coward's way out.
Yeah, it is, exactly. Not
yeah,
good.
Not nice.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Next up is Nick Little, a social entrepreneur who worked closely with Oz Osborne, who then became his best mate. Then suddenly Oz was struck down by an illness and everything suddenly changed for Nick. Here he is.
Yeah, it's devastating, really. I mean, he's... He was such a good bloke and he did so much for so many people. And I really realised the full extent of that when he was ill. He had a hemorrhage. It was on the 1st of August. We were going to meet with the barbers that we've been working with on the 12th Man campaign. And he sent me a message to say he wasn't feeling very well, to cancel the meeting, which we did. And then I think an hour or so later, he had a hemorrhage at home with his wife. Obviously an ambulance was called and he got to hospital, but he'd lost a lot of blood. Hemorrhage was in his chest. And so by the time I got to hospital, he was on a life support machine and all that because he had multiple organ failure as a result of the blood loss. But he then, for about a week... was fully sedated and fully supported, and they started to try and reintroduce some of his organs, and unfortunately in the end it wasn't successful, but they were able to lift the sedation, so we were able to talk, and there's about another week where we were able to we said everything we wanted to say. I loved the man, I truly loved him, and I know that he thought I was all right as well. And but it was more it was the other people that I organised a lot of visits with a lot of the people that we'd worked with, and to hear some of their stories about how what he meant for them was incredible. But also a lot of things we didn't know about, a bit like when George Michael died, you hear all these stories. So a lot of these were football related. There was a post that was put on an Ipswich Town fans forum that say he was unwell. And just all these people just came out, oh, I know this guy. I was once on here and I mentioned that I wasn't feeling very well, had a bit of depression. He contacted me and he drove all the way to Bury St Edmunds and met with me and chatted and all these things. And I thought, I never knew any of this stuff. And I knew that he did that because he's been very supportive of my mum after my dad died. My dad died 2 years ago, and he knew my dad, and he's close with my mum, and my mum might phone me and say, oh, I've just seen Oz, and I'd think, what? Why? And she said, he came round, he was lovely, and then I'd phone Oz, say, what were you doing round my mum? And she said, oh, I was in the area, and I'd sort of press him, and I realised he wasn't in the area, he went to see her, things that he'd sent my mum messages on my mum and dad's wedding anniversary and stuff like that, just lovely little things that he would do. It's just remarkably thoughtful, very, very kind. He was just brilliant. He was a unique, the way he thought about things was always different to everybody else, and not to be different, it just was. He could look at things from another point of view, and I'll miss that a lot. I miss it now, I really, so many things I wish I could call him and tell him about, including we've won an award, we're getting on Wednesday. I really want to tell him, I can't, Yeah. And things like a couple of weeks ago, I was on TV, I was on Anglia News live, and afterwards, obviously, everyone was sending me messages of congratulations and all that. I was depressed for 4 days afterwards. I felt such a mixture of emotions. I felt very exposed that he wasn't with me anymore. I wasn't at all nervous. You can tell I like talking, so that wasn't an issue. It was the fact I thought he should have been there, and we should be doing this together. And it seems just ridiculous that somebody in the middle of their life, who's 46, has died like this. It was in a weird way. You're getting a lot of praise and all these opportunities are coming, and you feel guilty. You feel guilty about it, and you feel you don't deserve it. And of course, I know that I do. One of the Oz's biggest bugbears with me was that I created the 12th Man campaign, not him, because he loved it. But I can't help but feel as great as I felt to be able to have that exposure, and it's been brilliant for the campaign. It leaves you with a it's bittersweet. Yeah. A successful partnership means that everything is always better than it would be if you're doing it individually, whether that's a marriage, a friendship, a business partnership, any kind of relationship like that. Yeah. If it's not the right partnership, then it isn't. No. It can be worse. And it's about finding those people. And I think for Oz and I, we knew as soon as we met each other. It's love at first sight and all that. you just know. I think I can work with this person, and we were committed to work together for the rest of our lives. And sadly for Oz, that was much sooner than we thought it would be. Mm. I've even been to Ipswich and sat in the north stand, you know, with his wife and some others. And, you know, that's a big thing for me.
So now, having had this long time with Oz and having lost him, do you have to, like, readjust the way you work?
Yeah, completely. I've just left one job to do the work that Oz was going to be doing, mainly on the 12th Man project.
Right.
I talked to him right at the end. We talked about The Outsiders and, you know, I promised him that it would carry on. He said you have to carry on, and I'm absolutely determined to do so. I'm really determined now, in a way that I wasn't before. I feel I owe him a lot, but I suppose, yeah, the way we work hopefully won't change. I'm not going to give up on the values, and I'm going to maintain that courage of conviction that we had. I'll just miss him a lot, because there's only one Oz Osborne.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Oh, poor Nick. That was such a horrible thing for him to have to go through.
Yes, and from someone who clearly goes through life trying to help and do things kindly. So tell us about the final clip, Susie. This one is taking us back a bit, isn't it?
It certainly is. Yeah, this is the first podcast that we ever made. My first podcast interview. And my God, I put myself in at the deep end with this one.
You did.
It's an interview with John and Jan Chadwick, who are parents to Andrea. Andrea was murdered by her husband, who happened to be the mayor of Cromer, which is not far from where we're recording now.
Yes, this was a story very local to us up on the North Norfolk coast, and one that had caught your eye, mainly for how it was reported, wasn't it?
Yeah, the local paper had made out that this was a moment of madness, and that just didn't ring true for me. I suspected that it was something that would have been going on for a lot longer. You know, these kind of murders of partners tend to be the culmination of years of domestic abuse. Sure enough, after she died, Andrea's diaries were found, and they revealed just that. Here's her mum and dad, John and Jan, talking about what happened.
He was standing in the kitchen with a shotgun. She walked in, saw him, run out. She started phoning the police. Well, she's on the phone to the police. As she ran round to the neighbour's front garden, he chased her and just killed her there and then.
Gone 8 o'clock at night before somebody came, wasn't it, to tell us. And it was just hell. Those few hours was hell.
And what were the police able to tell you at that early stage?
Originally, they said it's an argument gone wrong. They only knew what, obviously, the crime scene was telling them. They said that, tried to explain, there's a delay because obviously there's a firearms involved. Andrew was out the front of the neighbours. He chased her around to the house next door and killed her there. Then killed himself on their patio at the back of their garden. So the police were reluctant to go in to start with because there's a shooting. They didn't know if it was a random shooting out the front then by the time the firearm team get there, they then get in around the back. Then they found Keith. And once they found Keith and the situation is where he'd killed himself, they then weren't looking for anybody else. So this all takes time, doesn't it? Because it's husband and wife, they just assume, if it's out their normal procedures, it's an argument gone wrong. And we both said, we couldn't understand it. That's not like Keith to do this and do that.
And so, we just said, like we say, it was a moment of madness, something, just an argument gone wrong.
Can you think back to the days and weeks before Andrea was killed? Was there anything unusual going on around that time?
Well, she had been suffering from depression. That the last few weeks, she wasn't very good. She wasn't very good then. Even the last day we saw her. But, we just took it that was Andrea. Had no other reason to worry about a situation or anything. No.
So when you say that she wasn't too good, what do you mean by that? Did she just... She seemed down or upset or...
Yeah, down, yes, down. But not for us to have any reason to worry, because depression is like that. You have your ups and downs.
How about Keith? Did you know anything? Was there any indication that he was struggling with his mental health in any way?
So he bought her the gun because she joined a local clay pigeon shooting club. So he bought the gun, and we know that was all locked up. He got the safe in his office at home.
We never knew. We'd never seen them there, but she obviously wrote every day in her diary, and thank God she did.
The police always said that the parents were always the last to find out.
Every occasion when he had ill-treated her, physically... mentally, there was always afterwards a gift, a present of some sort.
Again, from what we saw, the cruises, the Porsche, he bought a Porsche car, but when you read the diaries, that was all after incidents.
The Home Office, they asked for the diaries to be checked over, and it was the lady who did that, and she said to us when she came to see us, she said, "I'm afraid you're going to be very upset." Because like I said at the beginning, I thought it was just a moment of madness that had a row and that's what happened. But she said it wasn't. And she called the police twice, said the police out to him twice, which we didn't know about either until then. Whenever she was poorly, she never went to the doctors on her own. He went with her. So I don't suppose everything came out, you know.
She told him she's going to leave him. That was it. So on the Sunday, from Saturday to Sunday, so it was premeditated. He'd got it all arranged. He got the gun out. He'd loaded it and he got a pocket full of shells. So he knew he was going to kill X number of people. He wasn't bothered who he's going to kill.
She told friends there that she needed somewhere to stay. And they were trying to sort things out for her, as a number of people. And a friend came forward on the Saturday and she stayed overnight. And apparently she was texting Keith. The messages are on her phone saying, "I'll come and see you, but I'll come to see you to sort things out. You won't hurt me, will you?" And each one came back, "No, I won't hurt you."
Because he'd laid all the wills out. He'd written a note to the family, "I'm sorry," and then went out the back and, I don't know if I should say this, I love it, he blew his head off.
He'd laid all of the paperwork out. So from that, it looks like there was no intention to talk, it was planned.
Yes, I think she went back to collect her possessions, and she'd ran round to a neighbour, the good friends, and she ran round there, but before she could get to the door, she heard a shot, and thought it was a car backfiring, and of course she found Andrea, and she died in her arms. I've only managed to start reading her diaries, but I found it too upsetting. I think one day I will sit and read them properly.
Oh yes, just as thought-provoking and shocking as the first time I heard this interview. And of course, like several of these clips, you can hear the whole show by looking at our back catalogue. This story is Series 1, Episode 1, and Nick Little's episode was Series 6, Episode 1. So have you got a podcast recommendation, Susie?
I have. This week I've been listening to a new series called The Shrink Next Door. This is a story about power and control and turning to the wrong person for help for decades, I think 21 years. It's not really a true crime podcast or a whodunit. It's more a question of, you know, how the hell did it happen? And it's very carefully put together by journalist Joe Nocera. I think I'm pronouncing that right. It's really well produced. The only thing I would say about it is the music that they're using throughout makes it sound kind of a little bit flippant, and it isn't. It's a really serious story about a really serious subject, I think. But anyway, it's a great listen. I'd really recommend it. And we will put the link to that on our social media.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with another mashup. So please do subscribe and recommend us. Thanks and bye.
Bye-bye.
We are the Backstory Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, at the Backstory Pod on Twitter. Search for The Backstory with Claire and Susie in your podcast directory.
For sponsorship opportunities, or if you'd like to take part in a show, please contact hello@thebackstorypodcast.co.uk. The Backstory Podcast is produced by Tin Shed Productions.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.